Welcome back to Targum Yonasan on the Parsha with Daniel Eisenberg. This week on Parshas Vayeshev, we're going to take a look at two nuanced perspectives of the Targum Yonasan that you don't really see in any of the other, at least mainstream Midrashim, definitely not what's quoted by Rashi. And I think that these comments, we'll take a look at them and we'll really see, try to put together a picture of a different perspective on the story overall and some, points at of the people that we are dealing with in the Parsha that Klal Yisrael are dealing with in the Parsha. So we're going to start in Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Yud Dalid. Over here, it's right after Potiphar's wife makes attempts to be with Yosef, and Yosef runs away. And Pasuk says in Lamed Tes Yud Dalid, Vatikra L'Anshei Beisa, that she called out to the people of the house, Vatomer Lahem Leimor, and she said, saying, Re'u, take a look, Hevi Lanu Ishivri Letzachik Banu. Look what this Hebrew tried to, he was brought to us, and he's trying to sport with us, whatever that means. Boy Lai Lishkavi Mi Vekro B'Kol Gadol, I called out, and then he ran away, etc. So Targum Yonasan over here says, Uramas Chelbona Diveasa, Bidargisha, that she put chelbona of beasa, which is egg whites. She put egg whites on the seat. Ukras lanche vesa v'amaras chamon shichva zara, and she says, take a look. Look at this. It's shichva zera, right? This is the seed of the Hebrew boy who tried to assault me, and. Probably this is probably based on the lashon of the pasuk of Re'u, see, like what was she showing them? So maybe she was showing them this. So she put some egg whites, which the Gemara Nida does say is the color of Zera, and she used that to try to fool them into thinking that Yosef actually spilled Zera in his attempt to assault Ishas Potiphar. Now this storyline of Targum Yonasan extends also into Pasuk Chaf later on, where the Pasuk says that Potiphar took Yosef and he placed him in the prison. And we see over here, we take a look at Targum Yonasan. Unasev Eitzer Ribonei de Yosef min Kumranayo divdaku de Chelbonahu. Right, so basically Potiphar, what does this mean? Vayikach, he took, so it means that he actually took counsel. He asked his like priests or his scientists, and they checked out the stain and realized that it was just eggs. So it was just egg. So the lo katalia say. So therefore Potiphar didn't kill him. Vayave beasir, and he put him in prison instead. And that's what he did with him. So that's very interesting. We see over here that Potiphar. What, right, and it answers a question: why didn't Potiphar just kill him? Right, we would expect Potiphar, of course, would a person who tries to assault his wife, of course, you would kill him. But for some reason, Potiphar only puts him into prison, and the reason, we see over here that he puts him into prison and doesn't kill him because he actually asked his scientists, his priests. They took a look, they examined, and concluded that Yosef was actually not guilty. And different discussion of why he would put him in jail, though. Perhaps so the story would blow over, so his just for some bias, but that's one point. The Targum Yonasan says you see a similar concept in some of the Midrashim. There's a Yalkut that doesn't take this approach, but that maybe Asnas, Potiphar's daughter, was actually around and she told Potiphar the truth, or maybe there's a certain way that they looked at the tear in the garments. But this is the perspective of Targum Yonasan, that they examined the stain that she tried to use as a proof against him. And there's another pair of comments later in the next parak, but only a few psukim later, where we have the sin of the Sar Mashkim and the Sar HaOfim, which, first of all, Targum Yonasan seems to say is indeed the sin of the Sar Mashkim and the Sar HaOfim, not people who are working under them. And what does it say? That Vahava Basar Piskomaya Hailain Vishavala Memar Sarahu Rav Mazogaya Demalka Dimitrayim Virav Nachtamaya, that it came to the king's attention that there was a plan. V'yasyatu l'mirme sama demosa, that they had a plan to poison the king and kill him, b'mechle, to poison his food, mashke, and his drink, and they wanted to try to kill him. So this right here is a different perspective than, you know, the mainstream approach, the approach in Bereishis Rabbah, which is that what did they do wrong? That there was a stone in the bread, and there was a fly in the wine, and there the Sarah Mashka and the Sarah Ofen, they sinned by allowing this to take place, whether they're the ones who are serving or the people working under them were serving. But over here we see something else. Targum Yonasan is saying, no, that's not the sin. You know, that's just a slip up. What's the sin? The sin is that they actually, or at least the rumor was, there was actually a plot to kill Paro. The Sarah Ofen and the Sarah Mashkin were trying to poison him. That's what Paro heard, that they were trying to poison his drink, trying to poison his food. Which really makes us think a lot about Achashverosh. The Gemara already, Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, already compares this scene to some degree with Achashverosh, that we have these two sarim trying to poison their master. So we have it over here too. Though what we'll see later on, Targum Yonasan continues in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, still Perek Mem, but Pasuk Chaf Aleph, when he reinstates the Sar Mashkim but kills the Sar Ofen. Why is that? So Targum Yonasan says, Vasav Yasra Rav Mazaga Amazge de Ishtachach, because it was found, De Lahava Be'etahahi, that he was not in that Eitzah, he was not in that council, Vihav Kosal Yodah de Paro, so therefore he reinstated him. He found out that Sar Mashkim actually wasn't part of the plan, only the Sarah Ofen was part of the plan. And therefore he killed the Sarah Ofen, didn't kill the Sarah Mashkin. But here we see a very different perspective on what took place, right? The you know, mainstream approach in Bereishis Rabbah is that the Sarah Ofen and the Sarah Mashkin were, you know, it was a slip up, and Paro threw them into jail and ended up killing one of them. But over here, Targum Yonasan seems to say that no, there were two people who were accused of, you know, attempting to poison the king. Found it turns out that only one of them was, so that one was killed. The other one was put right back into his position. So what, you know, what's the significance of that difference? It could be there, you know, a few different points, but one I want to point out, which really connects us back to the first, you know, new perspective of the Targum Yonasan, which is that we see over here that there's a somewhat of a just system. You know, very often we have the perspective of like some corrupt, horrible society that Egypt was, and, you know, people, you know, and whoever has power, might makes right, and you just throw anybody into whatever situation you want. But over here we see that the people like Potiphar and Paro are actually, you know, patient, a little bit more deliberate. They want to see what's going on. That Potiphar doesn't just, you know, right when he catches Yosef, you know, cut off with his head, but he has his experts examine the situation. He waits for the evidence, and he gets the evidence. So he doesn't, you know, he doesn't keep him around because he can for whatever reason. But he only puts him in jail, and he actually has a pretty good setup in jail because he doesn't want to kill him. And Paro too. This is not the version of Paro that Paro, you know, is just people make a mistake and he ends up killing one of them, but rather he heard a rumor. He put them both in jail, a holding cell for a little bit to find out the truth. When one person was found to be guilty, he kills him because he actually plotted to murder the king, to assassinate the king, and the other one is reinstated to his position. So that could, you know, it seems that's the type of people we're dealing with over here. Now we know, of course, there's a very, you know, horrible aspect of Mitzrayim later on when they enslave the Jewish people. We have an earlier interaction in Mitzrayim with Paro and capturing Sarah, though that could be also seen, you know, not as horrible as it may be, right? In the end, they didn't kill Avraham. The Mitzrayim, when they saw Sarah, they brought her to Paro's home. They didn't even take her for themselves. They brought her to Paro, and Paro's going to take her as a queen, which kind of could be seen as a compliment, obviously as challenging as it was for Avraham and Sarah. But at this point, we see Potiphar and Paro really being patient and waiting for you know, the evidence. And of course later on, as we learn in Sefer Shemos, things change. That, you know, Vayaka Mel Chadash, who Asher Loida as Yosef, that there was a new king who didn't know Yosef, whether there's a new king or a king with a new attitude, but that's when there was a change. But at least at this point, not that they were perfect or tzaddikim or anything like that, but that there was some sort of sense of justice with Paro and Potiphar. So what do you do with that? I'm not fully sure, but it really does change the view of the story, I think, a little bit. And then when we understand that we're dealing with, like, you know, real people who make real choices, so then we see a true problem of a lack of Hakaras HaTov when things turn sour, and when it's time for Mitzrayim to really enslave Klal Yisrael, that's where these evil colors show. Really wishing you all a beautiful Shabbos and Freilichen Lichtred Chanukah.